We know it all and you don't. I used to say just me, but now since you're added to the show, you also know everything.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying.
We're succeeding. Right. I want to talk about, there's a benefit before I do anything else. There's a benefit. Chuck Alberini, his cancer return. I don't know if he wants anybody to talk about that, but I'm going to talk about that. You've helped out in the past.
Yes.
We've gathered things. He's been a friend of mine forever. I mean, forever. His dad used to make me feel like $1 million when I was worth $100. Okay. I walk in and movie star just walked in.
I used to bust tables.
Yeah, I remember.
I used to bust tables for him.
And Mrs. Alberini, oh, you look so nice. So this thing is important. So people need to, now here's the point I'm making. Let's say I helped Zach go see a wrestling show, your son.
Which you have.
Which I have. I just want you to get this, what I'm trying to say, and then tell me if it's making sense. Zach really wants to see the show. But here's what I do. I promise him I'm going to get him to that show.
Okay.
And I get him a shirt. I give him money for popcorn. I can an autograph. But I didn't get the tickets so he could see the show in time for him to see the show. He doesn't get to sit in the front row. He doesn't get to see the show.
Right.
But I gave you all this stuff. There's a timing to everything when you're helping somebody.
Absolutely.
There's a timing that I don't care what you do. If you don't get it over the goal line in the time that's needed, because I've spent a lot of years, Gary, helping people raise money, helping people get a ticket. If I couldn't get it, I swear I'd buy it. I'm not promising a kid something and not come through. I'm not reaching out to you and say, hey, Gary, I can help your son. I love him. And then whoops, that was yesterday.
Right.
Dang, I meant to do it. I bought him a bunch of stuff for the show, but he didn't get to the, the need. If people are helping you, understand the need and the timing of the need, not just whenever you feel like it. Hey, you're gonna help me with my tractor? Yeah. And you bring it back over 4 weeks later without half the parts. That didn't help me at all.
No. And I've been down that road.
Riding down the road exactly. With a tractor with none of the parts back on it.
Yep.
So you didn't help me. Or if I need something done, Gary, I've had years, most of my life where I've been able to give and bless. Well, now I went through some rough times during COVID, destroyed my business. So I reached out here and there and you get whenever they feel like, now it's my timing and nobody really cares about the timing that I have. Busy. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And I'm thinking, I never did it like that. Why is it when it's my turn, it's done like that?
Well, that's the character in you. Everybody's different.
Everybody is different.
Everybody is different.
But I just want to know that, Gary, if I said, hey, this is the day that I need it, this is where we're, I know that you're going to be there, just like you were with that stuff
when Chuck had water.
Chuck right. had the last thing. You brought that stuff and we auctioned it off. I mean, it just makes me really upset. And I don't like being upset. I don't like reminding people, hey, this is the way I did it. You're not doing it that way. I'm just saying this so maybe people can hear it. If you're going to help them, then damn it, help them.
I mean, and unfortunately, things do come up in people's lives.
They do.
But there you should also take time and make arrangements to where whatever you said you were going to do, somebody else will make it happen for you because you can't be there.
Right.
If you get called, you got to work.
It would have to be unbelievable. Something like when my mom passed away, I forgot some things during that time. But if you know a family's in need or you know that their family needs to raise money and then dang it, do it when it's needed. Or they miss the deadline, they can't pay the thing that you ran the event for. Or this guy needs a job and he's going to lose everything if you don't get him to that next thing.
Right.
Then don't even bother at all. Pat yourself on the back that you help people because you don't. You ain't helping shit. Okay. enough of that. So hopefully that goes well. I don't know if Chuck, what Chuck's doing. We have a special guest from Hawaii, Chuck Koontz, but they are having a volcano. I'm not kidding. A volcano.
Are they really? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were joking. No.
So I said, what the heck's going on? Maybe there's something wrong.
Having a volcano.
So I'm waiting for him to come on, but I wanted to just say, I wanted to talk about some stuff that we were going to talk. I called up Mike DeWine to leave him a message because I was so mad at his speech. He's up there talking about stuff. He has no idea what he's talking about. This is safe. And you need to do
this. I think he's fed information. Wrong information.
But why? You are standing up there talking about things you have no idea what you're talking about. And you're acting like it's truth. Because I'm here to tell you, here's a little number that you might not have known. Vermont is 93% vaccinated. And they had the highest COVID level so far after 93% of the state has been. It's not a vaccine.
No, it's not.
But you're listening. So I called up for Mike DeWine. He thought he was answering another call. Hey, Steve, it's me.
Boy, what a bad luck that was.
Like this is going to be a bad call. Steve ain't here. I am. And I mean, I proceeded. Because I was so mad. I go, you're on stage talking about things you have no idea what you're talking about. Telling people to get vaccines for kids that don't need them. Making all these moves that you did a year and a half ago that didn't do anything either. So you're telling me you can't go research past your party or past whoever politician. And look at these numbers. It's 2,000 times better to have already had it. Nobody cares about that. Nobody talks about that. Why isn't he talking about that?
You know, the thing that's really crazy is there's so many different things brought out by the CDC and the WHO and all that. They still don't know what's going on.
No clue.
They don't have a clue. And then you get local people telling us what to do. And that does infuriate me, too. It really does. Especially these lockdowns. When that happened, I was starting to go crazy.
It destroyed people's lives, their last year in school, their last senior year that you only get one of. Businesses. Small businesses got destroyed. They're not coming back. They still aren't back. And it's just amazing that you're talking about something that could have long-term effects, acting like you know for sure that this thing is safe and you should be doing it. And I mean, I just ripped into them.
Good for you.
Your job, when you took that oath, none of you are following that oath of serving the people and the health and wellness of your, none of you are doing it. And I'm sick of, you know, I was on Verb and it was really funny because I said, here's the platform of the Democrat Party. Shut the hell up. That's the platform. That's the real platform. We know what we're doing. You don't.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Shut up. That's it. That's what the button should be. Not that they care about people, because they don't. Because if you caught the debate in Virginia, where the former mayor McAuliffe, he's up on stage, they're talking about the parents mad at what the school's teaching, this crap that they're, you know, critical race. And he blurts out, well, you know what? The parents have no right going. Don't worry about what the teachers are teaching them. It's none of their business. And what sounded like some...
I would have yanked my kid out of that school so quick.
That sounded crazy, but that's really the truth. They slip up every now and then and say the truth. They really believe that. Just go home. Nobody cares what you think.
It's none of your business what you're teaching your kids. We're going to
pump into their head what we want. Now,
that's true. Yeah. I tell you, thank God my son is not in school no more, but if he was, I'd pull him right out if I ever heard anything like that.
Yeah, it's ever. None of your business, he said. It's not the parents' business what they're teaching. The only reason they found out is because when they kick their butts to the curb to go home for COVID, they start seeing the study plan. What's this crap? They didn't even know this stuff was going on.
Yeah. Didn't they change up the math? They changed up all kinds of
everything.
Stuff.
Everything, bro. If you teach somebody... I'm not kidding. I was a tutor for physics at Kent State. Not a very patient tutor. Okay. So imagine that. I'm going, come on, how are you not getting this? I mean, I'm trying to show them shortcuts. And I go, no, you don't. Oh God, you don't have to do all that. Just why? And I'm yelling at him. Well, I got fired from a job, a non-paying job. because the kid was scared. The guy's yelling at me.
She just grabbed his hand and say, start using your fingers and count.
All you do is you write the answers right here. Quit making this hard. But I was short of all these shortcuts. And I would learn all these shortcuts. And the teachers would go, if you'd spend just a little bit more time on
learning how to talk to people.
Instead of learning it, instead of finding the quickest way to do it. Tom, come on. I mean, I have like no work. Where's your work? I don't need the work. I did. Oh, you have to show all the work. Well, now, Gary, you would believe my wife's tutor, they are told to do these impossibly long versions of a simple problem.
Just to get to the answer.
Just to get the answer.
I think I've seen one online. It's a parent going through it, and they were actually upset about it. They're like, they got to do all this.
You could have got the answer ages ago. Now, I don't know what job you get, where you have all day to fill up pieces of paper with work. Right. The last time I checked, it's getting the answer is what you're trying to accomplish. Yeah,
they want to know how you're getting it.
That's fine. But the way they're going about it, and especially this reading, they don't do phonics really anymore.
They don't even write cursive.
And they don't write cursive. They don't even know how to do it. What?
I couldn't. I mean, I can still do it, but it's not real good.
But when I have to write something pretty, like, nice to letter, where I'm not like,
I mean, you can understand what my cursive is, but if I get in a hurry, it's chicken scratch.
Does it do this? I start writing in cursive, it ends up with regular letters, and then back to cursive, and then regular. That's what mine does. I start writing, and then all of a sudden, there's a regular T coming out that's not cursive. Whoops, and then I go back to.
What happens when I print? I'll use capitals, like in a sentence. I'll use a capital to start the sentence, and then I'll use capital E's when it should have been a small E, and an N, and a capital I. I catch myself doing that sometimes. And it's usually when I'm in a hurry.
Of course.
I'm just trying to write something down real quick. I just blubber it down.
But I mean, it is really difficult because the kids even know, you know, because I go out there and help them. Nobody wants my help. No, you don't have to do that. No, the story problem, you don't read the crappy story. Just look at the numbers and, you know, thanks, Tom, for your input. Thank you very much.
Tom, we'll call you when we need you.
Well, we'll give you a call.
We'll get back to you on that.
Any more of your assistance.
We'll get back to you on that.
You don't need to read that. I can just hear myself saying that. Why am I telling the kid? No, you don't have to read the story.
Just
get the numbers out of it.
And I'm guilty of that. I used to just not read the whole story. Like, I'd dabble on it, and then I'd see what, well, Johnny had 17 of this, but Kenny took 4, and I'm like, oh, just subtract it. But then there's more to it. But then she gave 2 back, and I missed those 2.
Yeah, I know we don't like to talk a whole lot about politics, but I tell you what, if you've seen the latest, to me, it's not about public health at all. It's just this control thing. And I'm looking at this new cashless thing. Let's just think for a minute. The way things are going right now, if they went to cashless society so that they could control all the money, and you want to go buy yourself a brand new truck. Well, no, you're not. Because that truck doesn't have this, that, and that. It's not gas thing. You can't buy that. You can't buy that air conditioner. We're not going to okay that. Pretty soon, you don't have any say-so in what you're even buying. Because if you don't have the cash to go get it out of the bank,
so
they can control what you're buying.
So let me ask you this. How would it, if you had to go to a bank...
It's digital. You don't have nothing's cash though. You can't. They want you not be able to walk out with a money.
Well, first of all, who's I'm putting they? This
in my the agendas here. That's starting here is so this push for a cashless society. So you can't go in the bank and say, "Blow off! I'm taking and put in my mattress." You're not going to be able to do that. And then when they decide that they want to take money off A and give it to the B, C people that need it more.
That ain't going to go over.
That's what the goal is. You can't buy fatty foods with it. No, that money's not going to work with that. You have to buy this.
Oh, but somebody can buy $2,400 worth of ice cream?
Well, I'm just saying they want to control. That's where you have no more control over your money. For real, it's digital. It's whatever they say it is.
Well, let's just pray to God that that doesn't happen.
Well, I'm telling you this.
I don't really think that will happen. I honestly
this
think
is the start, though.
Step up before.
Have they stepped up? Yeah, lately.
I think actually more starting to come out now. I mean, you see it. You see people resigning. I'm starting to see it. And I'm reading pretty decent sources. And then I'll see it on a different source, the same thing. So I'm kind of taking it as truth.
I see really smart people standing there acting like this vaccine is anything but a shot in the dark. It's a shot in the dark. The percentages, wait, how about this percentage? Are you ready for this? I got this percentage, which is really going to flip out. Okay.
I got one too, actually.
So the data, a prevention of contracting, there's no vaccine eliminates the virus, eliminates it. Polio, get the vaccine, you don't get polio. End of story. That's a vaccine. Okay. Now,
vaccines cure.
Right. Vaccine is over.
Or prevent.
Right. Now, vaccinable drops to 66% after a few months. The booster drops effectiveness 55% more. So it doesn't really, it only reduces severity, but that isn't even true anymore. That was their other BS. And if you get it, you don't go to the hospital and that. Well, apparently all these people that were vaccinated are in the hospital. Yes. So all I'm saying, Gary, I'm not telling you to get it. I'm not saying don't get it. It's none of my business. But why is YouTube taking off everything that somebody puts on that has anything to do with not getting the vaccination? Everything. YouTube will take it right off. Oh, so yeah, if it's so stupid,
that's your cancel culture.
And we got all this, we're such conspiracy. There's people are idiots. Then why are you going through all this trouble to get rid of everything?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it? It was either, I think it was India, but they've used nothing but HQC or ivermectin.
Uh-huh.
And they have the most success rate.
Right. And they take off anybody that says they want to use that. Or the other.
Why did they stop it here? I'm telling you, it's all political.
They stopped it here because it might work.
It will work, and
they
know
don't want it to work.
They said not only hydroxychloroquine could possibly. There's the other one. Take that off. Ivermectin. They're like, oh, that's horse dewormer. Well, they make two. They make an ivermectin for animals because I know a friend who used to hunt beagles, and he had to give him ivermectin because it fights the.
Right.
They weren't heartworms, but they make one for humans, and people, I see it all
the time
online.
But they make it
sound
like you're sitting there.
The news is like, go ahead. You don't want to take a horse dewormer. Well, it's not a horse dewormer. The mainstream media says that. Go ahead.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Why can't we have just all the facts? Here's 1 through 50. And now we make decisions based on that. There has to be a reason that this isn't the way we're doing it. It has to be a reason there's this major push, and it isn't good.
No, it's definitely not good.
So that's
anytime somebody has to bribe you.
Yeah,
you'll get
crazy.
A Big Mac and a Sunday from McDonald's, and we'll give you $100 cash bonus for Kohl's if you get the vaccine. Did they ever do that with the flu shot? Did they ever do it with any other shot?
No, and this
they're pushing it
doesn't even work. So to sit, I'm watching like.
They say, oh, you won't get, if you do contract COVID, it won't be as bad. Well, the people that have the double shot or maybe even the booster are still contracted COVID. They can still pass it on.
It's more passable that way.
It's
every single mandate, Gary, every single one that they've done has failed miserably. But we still sit here and, okay, Fauci said it. And the kids, instead of the 60s where they bought everything, they want more stuff. Please tell us what to do.
Yeah, I've
never seen a generation.
I don't get all that either. I really don't.
There's a generation that's begging for the government to control them.
It's not.
Except the other way around.
It is crazy because just like the flu shot, and I used to take the flu shot about 5 years ago, I stopped. But only because there's different strands of the flu every year.
And it's
so when you get a flu shot, you're getting one strand, but you don't know which one's going to be out there. So you can still get sick with a different strand. And that's what they're saying about the COVID.
I'm really thinking.
COVID shot. They said in order for you to build up immunity to it, it should have a little bit of the strand in it. they just put something together and was like, this will help it. And I mean, I know people that gotten sick pretty bad. You know,
I got kicked off of Facebook simply by saying somebody I knew got the shot and put a quarter in it. It magnetized to the shot.
His quarter's not magnetic, is it?
Well, they every little piece of metal they stuck on was like a joke. Like, what the, you know, kept putting.
I've seen the video. I didn't know if it was true or not.
But I just, and all I said was, I actually know somebody this happened. I didn't say anything was bad about it. Hey, maybe you're a superhero now. You're Magnet Man. I don't know. I didn't say it was anything bad.
30
Boom.
Days.
I mean, now oh, I was man. Off.
I've been pretty.
Well, you
pretty
can't
fortunate.
Say anything.
No, I haven't. I've been out. I've been out on bond for.
But I've been taking my show on the road, man. I'm sticking it on LinkedIn.
They're going to start putting finger bracelets on me with, so they can monitor where my fingers are at on my phone.
Hey, yeah. Don't be giving any ideas.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Like, stop it.
Cut that.
But I used to hear that, but people would say, hey, don't talk like that in your car. You never know. Oh, shut up.
And you know what's funny?
I don't know if I believe anything.
I see more and more people that I am friends with, people that I actually know, that they're like, I just had 7 days in Facebook jail. People you would never think for what. Like this one friend of mine posted this big, ugly spider. It looked like it had a face on its back. And she goes, anybody know what kind of spider this is? I was like, I don't know what kind that is, but I just burned the whole house down. 30 days they gave me. Said I was inciting violence.
See, because once you get on that watch list.
Yeah, they
watch. I mean, I didn't even mean anything by something else, and I got kicked off for a bunch of days. I said something. You don't have anything nice. I forget what I said. They took it wrong. Just like that.
Yep.
And off I went because
I even wrote them. I said I was joking with a friend.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. Once you, they're just hoping you get off as many times as you can to get you out of the way.
I wish they would just shut down. Be honest with you. If it wasn't for my music and like my son building cars.
But I used to, it was an outlet for my crazy personality.
Really?
Like, yeah, for this lunatic idea. Like, does anybody else feel like this?
Right. But people get too, they start posting too many personal things on
there. Yeah, I know. It gets really weird. Now, I look back. Have you ever looked back at your stuff from 10 years ago when they give you the memories?
Yeah, I have seen some stuff.
I read some of them. I went, shut up, you pompous ass. I'm reading this thing. Oh, I ran 4 miles. I'm doing. Shut up.
Who cares?
Nobody cares.
Right.
Like I put that post. Remember when nobody cared about what you ate and how you were doing? I said, and they still don't.
And here you are, right? How many miles?
But I mean, I'm looking back 10 years, going, who is that?
You will not believe what I found. My MySpace page.
Bragging about stuff like a shot. I'm not kidding you. I actually was going. Oh, shut up. I'm sitting there looking at my own post going, what an idiot. Did I write that? I should have punched myself in the face.
Did I have a couple of cocktails before?
No, it was like some dumb, like, look at me. I mean, it was really, some of them were
cheesy.
They were like, I'm doing so great. Like, it just so.
It's something if you heard somebody else
yeah,
say.
No, yeah, no, yeah. Now that I'm going through crap, I shut the heck up. Nobody cares about how good you're. But I was reading that thinking, you know, what's your motive for writing that? You know, and now I try to do that. Like, what's my motive for writing that? To make myself look better? Is it to make my kid, you know, what is the motive? And back then, I must have had no motive at all except me.
I found my MySpace Nothing good. Page. You remember MySpace?
I never had one.
It's mine still up. I kid you not. I was just goofing around because I was pissed off at Facebook. I'm like, oh, and somebody says, we should just go back to MySpace. I'm like, man, I wonder if mine's even still up. And sure enough, it is. It's still up. I look like a goonball.
You know, Koontz must have got stuck in the volcano.
The lava.
It won't let him get on.
It won't?
Joe, the computer whiz guy, sent you the link too, not just my dumb link. Jeez. Anyways.
So he can't just call in, or you got to do it?
You know,
you got to do it through an app. You can put him on speakerphone.
Yeah, maybe we could just get him, call the show.
Yeah.
I know we have a number on the thing. But and I'm gonna tell him, look, if your volcano ain't erupting, nobody gives a crap what you're gonna say anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
he says he can't get in. Heck. I got in from the beach. I mean, at least I'm indoors now and I had no problem getting on.
Maybe it's a little bit farther than where you are.
Hawaii.
He's across the Pacific.
And he was on Fat and Furious when they had the car doing all the car, redoing all those classic cars.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I've only caught a couple episodes of that, but then I found out he was local.
Yeah, I would just watch it to like critique him. I go, you know, Chuck, scene four was not funny. So I'm just gonna let you know.
You gotta take
cut.
You gotta take those valve
covers. Yeah, I go, now if I was on the show, it would have been a lot more funny. But okay, back to you.
Thank
anyway.
You calling home
I was seriously
like to your line.
I would have said this. But number I don't know a whole lot about it. I think it's a bad gas cap, is what I think it is.
He's doing good. He looks good too.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight. I think it's a bad hubcap. I really do, guys.
Yeah, it looks like the white letters ain't clean, buddy. That was neat. I didn't realize it until after the fact that there was a local guy on there.
Welcome, host.
Yeah,
you are now in the host room and can manage your
church, and he was a drummer.
Studio web interface.
And then all of a sudden, not as approachable, Mr. Big Shot on TV. Yeah. Hey, Chuck, wait.
What? Who are you?
Talk to my agent. I need a pair of sticks. Yeah, so does everybody, pal. I did. I'd break my sticks and he would just ignore me. Like I wasn't even there. I'm trying to find them, knocking over stands. Like,
are they going to try to? You going to try to get them online or?
I don't know. I told him to call the show. Are you technical enough to call the show, or do you want to send a letter? The station.
Jeez. Letter. Pigeon mail.
He's gonna hit the Pony Express, slap a note on the back of a horse and ride it here. So I know your wife hates when we talk about politics. I heard her groaning in the background last time I called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go, here's what we're talking about. I go, okay, that's it. You're off the show.
That's enough.
Or I was going to do this. I'm not kidding.
I think the reason being is she's pretty much, she knows everybody has different opinions and has.
But the other ones are wrong, so cares about that. But I was going to do one of these, Joe, like the old Chevy Chase or Sandler. All the pertinent information. Well, here's what I, and then I'd like, and that's what I think about. Okay, so I think that'll.
That would go over great.
And I'm telling you.
And her ears would go over great.
I laugh at those bits because I was driving a truck for Tribune. And I was truck five. And it was on Friday nights after the VIP, which I did not go get a little nap in between going working that night. So I'd had a few driving the truck, all dressed up, shiny pants, you know. And I would be tired. I mean, bro, falling asleep going down Route 5, like right through the red light. I mean, when you are falling asleep driving, you've been truck driving.
I've gotten close.
I don't care what you do. I was asleep long enough to have a dream as I'm. Yeah. And so they were saying, truck five, come in. Somebody needs help. I was right by there, Newton Falls. If you could go help him on the thing, I go, you know what? Here's my location.
Yeah. Okay.
We're breaking up, Tom. I said, forget it. Truck 12. Can you go out there? So that was my way out of that. Worked every time.
Good. That's pretty.
Every good. Time that I wanted a location, I daggone that right near the information that you needed. Never quite got out.
Only time I've ever done that is when I get a phone call on my phone because I have to wear a headset driving the semi. Yeah. You got to have hands free. And I'll be pulling into the dump down in Lowville and I'll crank CB because they talk to you, the dump talks to you. Like they say, Trumbull, come up the hill by the tipper, you know, but back in right there. But mm-hmm. So somebody will call me. I'd be like, hey, listen, I got it. And I'll crank it. I'll be like, hey, Trumbull, come on. So listen, I got to go. You know, this guys are talking to me on the radio. I can't hear you. So I try to get out of that a lot.
It's plus, the easiest way.
You can't be holding this. I can
it's the easiest way to get out of a phone call ever. guy's going on and on and on. You and you just act like you got cut off.
Now you just told everybody.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. In fact, I did. Rubino, I usually goes when I hung. Did you just use that thing you said on? Because I was telling that joke. He goes, "You just used that on me, didn't you?" I go, "No, this went under a bridge through, you know, a bunch of trees."
There's a dead spot on the highway here.
It's the same dang spot every time.
It is. I mean, there
Elm Road's really bad.
There's one on 82 heading up towards Elm Road. If you're coming from this way, if there's a blank spot, it'll go burp, and it'll, my phone will go dead.
But in the old days, when you get a call on Friday, it's not the right girl, and you happen to answer the phone, hello? Oh. And what are you doing tonight? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. And you hang up the phone like you got cut off. There ain't no pagers. There were no cell phones. Monday, what did you hang up on me for? I didn't hang up on you. I lost you. Jeez, I was waiting for you all week.
So and you know, just say, thou shall not lie.
But I used to have used this, but I know my sister goes, you still doing that bit? Because I was living at home. And she, I'd answer the phone, hello, like it was my dad.
Yeah.
In case it was somebody I want to talk to. She goes, you're still doing that?
I've gotten calls before when I was a little bit younger, like for job interviews, and I already had something.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, is Gary there? I'm like, no, he's not here right now. You know, it's me. I felt guilty because I'm sitting there going, no, he's not here right now. Okay, could you have him call Sarah at so-and-so company at this number? I'm like, yeah.
I got that right now. I'm writing it down right now.
I'll let him know. Thanks.
Well, my mom could never lie, though. Like, my dad, easy. Hey, Dad, tell him I'm, yeah, okay. My mom, I get the call from this guy, will not stop calling me to go out. And my mom's going, I'm in the background. Hey, what's this mean? Not here. You don't have to say where. You don't have to give any details. He's not here. Really easy, Mom. Nope, not for her. He's at the thing. Thing. What does that even mean? He's moving a rock for his uncle. What? Just enough information.
He said he'd be back at 7.
Just enough information to him to go. He knew Uncle Ronnie, so he drove over there.
Moms were great.
But she's like, yeah, Mom, you just say. She goes, I get all nervous. You're like Don Knox on. Hey, following. No,
Don Knotts.
No, he's not here right now. Where? He's doing something. What? Then don't we have to say anything past he's not here. That, I go, how about if I run outside? And then you don't lie. I'll be not there.
I don't know where he's at.
Yeah, I don't know where
he
he's at.
He just ran outside, but I don't know
where he's in the bathroom right now combing his hair and giving all this information that they don't need to have. Oh, I love her. She was so bad at it. And Ann just bad at it, too.
My dad used to get so upset when somebody just show up at the house.
I hate that.
Even me. If I just show up, he'd be like, you know, a little phone call would be nice. What if I'm walking around here in my undershorts? I'm like,
but you know what, though, Gary? I appreciate that. Look.
I do, too.
I just, you know, some
now people. Now that I'm older.
Some people walk into the house. I'm not kidding you. That happened. Somebody in our, not immediate family, but family, just came over and walked in. Hey! That is a really good way to start off a bad
move. That would mood. Be upset. Even if any of my family members would just walk right in. Unless it was dead important or something was wrong.
Right.
I get it. But just
I would walk in to my parents, but I'd go, Mom, you know, I'd open the door. Mom, you could just come in. No, I'm not doing that.
How about the one friend that you invite over? He comes over and he opens up your refrigerator.
That friend is no longer going to be there.
How about the that one made that me hot.
I was sitting on the back of my pool deck having a really crappy day. I was just trying to get some sun, and I had some issues, and I know Tommy had again. I had a lot of stuff, and I hear this motorcycle pull because I have that wrap around.
Yeah,
they're not really pulling in my driveway, are they? Who is that? Because I ran out my garage. I thought, well, maybe it's a guy that rents my garage. It's a guy, a friend of. Hey, I just takes off his helmet. I just happened to drive by, and I thought I'm just gonna stop over. And guess what my response was? That was a bad idea. You can ask Ann. She goes, I can't believe you just said that. I go, what the heck are you doing here? That was my next comment. Oh, well, I just, and then I warmed up, and then I was okay. But the shock of just popping over.
I know. I don't like it either.
Because I might be in the middle of yelling at doing something. I don't know. But I would always say, hey, like even I went by your house a bunch of times. I would never even dream of just pulling in, Vigor, what's up? You know, it's just.
And it happens more. It seems like it's happening more. Oh. If people see me out, my building door's open, they can see the old truck in there I'm working on. They'll just pull in. Hey, what's going on? I figured I'd stop and check out your truck. I'm just which I get it. I go, usually if the garage doors open out here, I'm out here, you know. But when I'm in the house and all of a sudden somebody, I hear Harleys go up my driveway, I'm like, who's here?
Like, I hate that.
Rebecca's like, there's bikes out there. I look out there and there's a couple guys I know, they pulled up on their bikes. I'm like, don't put that kickstand down on my hot blacktop driveway. You better have a plate, you know. And they're like, yeah, what's wrong with you? I was like, well, I wasn't expecting.
I think you
no got to
come up with a bunch of small talk that you don't feel like
then you
got having.
There, kind of just
because you got to understand, when I was young, I didn't want anybody stopping over. I wanted to be alone. I was a kid. I played by myself. I had my own little games. So they'd come to my door and I'd go, no, I don't really want to. I don't know. So I've never been a guy that needed somebody else to have fun or somebody else to entertain me. I'm a goofball all by myself. I don't need any help being a goofball.
Right. No, I do. You know, I watch know exactly that, what you're saying.
I watched that Chris Farley tribute song, bro. I shouldn't have watched it because I started crying. But one of the last things he did, he went to Tim Meadows' wedding. The African-American guy, funny. He was on Saturday Night Live with
him. Yeah, I think I know who
he's on the Goldbergs
about.
As the principal.
Yeah, now. I think I know who you're talking about.
He said he didn't feel good.
Chris Farley said that.
And Adam Sandler's like, well, everybody comes here to, you know, you're the funniest guy. Right on cue. He's a goofball rolling around, falling down. And
he still went through
his thing. Now, I remember going to my friend Dave Price's wedding. I didn't feel good. Anthony Caffaro's, a lot of people. Now they're expecting me to do my act like I do at Bass. Like I would do this act on all the players. And here's the way they got. You know, I'm doing impressions. So I go, I just want to eat this really good food. And I want to get out. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing nothing. Here comes the guy that got married. Leaves the dance thing and comes over. What are you doing? You got to get up there and they're waiting for you at the bar for jokes and stuff. You got to insult Greg and do that. I go, am I a clown? Like, I'm here for like clown purposes, like wear bells on my head and run around. That's the only reason why somebody was happy to.
Have you done it before?
Yes. That's why. I do it all the time. And so now I wanted to just sit there and feel good. No. Come on.
You need to Greg, his wife loves it when you make fun of him. Oh, God.
And then once you get going, now I have
you push through it.
And now we're rolling a few drinks. And now I got my around it. Like, you know, it's just like you just go into that mode. Yeah. Like, let's get going.
Listen, I've done it.
Yeah, I know you have.
During shows.
Well, I know. That's why I'm telling you this, because I remember. There's nobody as funny. Look, I know funny. You're funny when you want to be funny, wisecracking stuff. But I also know, like some of the show nights, I was being an idiot, like just trying. And you're really, yeah. I know that's hard. You know, it's stress. That's really a stretch of acting for me to be a pomp idiot.
Well, it's stressful what you did.
I know. And you got to remember, I got bands up there F-bombing in the middle of the afternoon. Right. Bubba. Pull the plug.
Right.
Get off the stage. So I would, here comes the band I don't have to worry about. So I would get relaxed. So now I'm relaxed because I just had 14 other idiots.
I thought you were going to say Blackfoot again.
No, but I'm just saying, I felt like, here's a band that's going to bring me people. They're going to bring me beer drinkers.
That's your business. When I see you in different modes, like I see you in the Thomas mode outside of the station. I seen Thomas mode when you're in sports.
Oh.
And then I see the Thomas mode when it's business. I'm just like, it's almost like Sybil. You got four different personalities.
It is.
Because you can talk and be pleasant one minute. Next minute, when you start squinting those eyes like Clint Eastwood, I'm like, oh gosh, here we go.
And you know how hard that business is.
That's very hard. And what you did, dealing with all the vendors, the bands.
And everybody's trying to get away with something.
Always.
Because while you're getting ready and your stuff's stressful, and I've got people over there with sound, I got 10 guys not emptying garbage. Okay. It's not a big shot job. I'm out there worried about porta-johns. Somebody go, 2 a.m, I get a call. Yeah. Hey, we can't find a way to get the porta-john. I go, so in 2 a.m, the first person you thought of to call was me.
You run the show, though.
I'm the, who do we call, guys? Sharp, porta-john problem. So
didn't
when
call
any,
Dominic?
When it, but when anybody, yeah, they did. When anybody thought, oh, yeah, Mr. GQ had, bro, you have no clue how unattractive that job is most of the time. I'm wheeling up, not kidding you, me and Anthony, rolling up field protection with throw up and the stuff you couldn't even imagine.
Oh, on the baseball field.
Yeah. And there ain't nobody else. It's
they
me.
They don't blow it off at the power washer or anything?
No,
first?
Rolling it up, me, Kenny Kohler, Anthony Caffaro, like all rolling it up like that. You and I would make a joke like, did you think JJ be down here doing this?
You'd be paying me a pretty penny. I'd be like, go in there and get that power washer. I ain't rolling that up in there.
It was so bad.
That's
and then you're up for 3 days, and then nothing ever goes right. And then the teardown's wrong. The thing's going too long. Somebody gets a forklift stuck. I am actually out there threatening their life. Like, DeTosta? I go, I swear to God, I'm going to kill you right here.
Who?
DeTosta. Remember him? Dago, they called him.
I think so, yeah.
He would be ahead of, and then he'd get his head out in left field, and he's carrying around Dr. Pepper. I go, what are you doing? You know, I'm a little bit more important than being the trash guy. I go, I'm going to stick you in that trash if you don't get moved. I mean, just people just doing these stupid things, right, asking for money in the middle of the day, and and just, like, I can't wait
to do.
How about
the vendors, like the rib vendors?
They were the worst. Listen, Gary. They act like they're barely making money. You're selling 20. They got a line. What else would you like me to get you? I don't know. A line to the moon? You can't even get through the people you have.
They were the worst, though.
Oh, bro. They were telling me how to do it. Oh, they did. They paid a lousy $1,000 a spot.
They had to be, because we get done playing and we walk by a vendor. They're like, you're with the band. Here, take this.
I'll never forget the French fry guy, a good friend of mine. I miss him. He passed away. He would be selling out of potatoes. Couldn't get the potato. I go, how you doing, Doug? Oh, barely paid our costs. Everybody just shut up. I'm not buying. Or how about I caught Henninger laughing? Boy, we're making up at the outdoor show. He didn't know I was behind him because I had not dressed up. I'm like, I got to. He's going, we're making a high five. Deer hunting, no, I got enough money to go. I go, hey, Ricky, how'd you do?
It was bad.
It was a 2 second. I mean, they're all the same.
That's amazing.
I used to laugh. So all you promoters do this out of the good of your heart. Is that what? Nobody's making any money. Everybody's just doing this for fun, right? Like, I'm supposed to believe that.
Hey, Dominic was like that. God bless him. But Dominic was like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because you know why?
And he'd be like,
because he spent the money way before the show.
Oh, he did.
That's for another time. But I know, being his friend, he wasn't a cheapskate in Las Vegas. And then guess what? Now that we have the show, all those deposits and that were 4 or 5 months ago. The show's there. That money's all ring.
He's been pretty lucky.
He's done really well. But when the shows start falling off because nobody stood around drinking beer and, you know, some bad weather, he got killed. And I know, because I did the thing, and I know how quick you can get killed.
I think the VIP section heard a lot of things too.
Yeah,
it did. I don't think that was
a bad move. But you know what? It was a good idea, because if you remember the concerts, those seats sold out real quick, the ones in the front, because everybody that was somebody in town wanted that up front exposure. You know, look at me, I'm at front.
Right.
But it didn't work at that event, because it's always going to be a stand up and eat and drink.
Yeah, it's more like standing room only or first come,
it was
first
never served. In fact, you don't want it to be. I used to start complaining, because like I told Eric Ryan, when he has his, I go, bro, these people sit down. Once they sit down, they're not getting back up. So I mean, you got to bring the stuff to them. They start watching the show, pretty soon they're watching the show, you You got to bring it to that.
Well, I noticed Covelli Center, the last show my wife and I went to, they got it probably from the stage to all the way where the soundboard's at, the outboard. It's all open floor. So
yeah,
if you get a floor seat, now there's seats probably about 25 rows in front of the soundboard, and then there's a barrier fence so you can't get through it. The rest of it, you walk around. Mm-hmm. So if you got, that's for people to mosh or whatever, they run into each other, do crazy yeah. stuff. But just like standing room only. So whatever that ticket can't be expensive, but you're right up front.
Yeah.
You're actually yeah. up front.
I've always liked, and every time I've gotten a ticket for somebody else, I've got the best ticket I could possibly get them. So when somebody, is it a good ticket? I go, did you even ask me that? Like, did you just ask me if I could get you a good ticket? Okay. As if I could get bad tickets. No. But, you know, when I would go get a seat or whatever, do you know I got to go up with Black Crowes and Jimmy Page? I got to go up on stage with them.
Did you?
Did you know that?
No.
I went.
Jimmy Page?
Yeah, I was invited to Pittsburgh. I had a big cigar, and they invited me. Like, I was, you know, I'm sitting up front there, like, watching the show because they thought maybe we'd do the show. We ain't never doing that expensive show. But I took all those invites all the time.
I can imagine what that show would cost.
And the Deep Purple one, when I got to see that, that was just so good.
That would be awesome.
And Dominic did flirt with that, but it was so expensive because Blackmore was back. It was a totally different.
What type of venue would you use?
Well, he was trying to figure on doing it at Yankee Lake.
Oh, outdoor.
But they're real picky and it wasn't going to work. But I actually sit there and they go, hey, and this happened in Vegas. There's a tall, I don't even know if they got my name right. I don't even know. But they go, hey, we're sitting ahead of them. I'm standing there. And he goes, want to come on up here and say hi to there's like 30,000 people there. I go, yeah, I do. I knocked over 10 people and whooped them. Excuse me. I'm in really kind of modest, but I'm going to let you let me up here. Jimmy Page, did you? Heck out of the way, by the way. But I got up there, you know. I go, Jimmy, yeah, thanks. We already heard your guitar playing. I think I'm up here now. But they let me stand. I'm standing right beside him, and he's like playing, and he's got his gosh dang it, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I wasn't a big I never even got to see Zeppelin.
I was not a big Black Crowes fan. I was a big Jimmy Page later. He did Outlander. He did his own solo stuff. I really like some of that. I like Robert Plant after he left Led Zeppelin.
They're supposed
better.
To do what of a tour with Jason Bonham, John Bonham's son.
And I just wish video, they would do it.
They were tough. I mean, I was like, I would love.
I mean,
to
just
see
like it. Pink Floyd. What is your problem that you can't get it together so you could make $1 billion?
Probably 117 years old.
Yeah, but there's still people would go. I mean, Pink Floyd's back together. You don't think that's...
Is everybody still alive?
Yeah, but they don't talk. David Gilmour and they don't talk. These egos and bands get... You know, there's nothing worse than an ego in a band.
I know it. Trust me. I've been doing it for years.
I was always trying to tell you, here's the kind of music that we're going to play.
I would love to see bands like that make one last jaunt around the country just... You know,
I really became when Robert Plant did Pictures at 11, burning down one side, and they did his solo stuff. I like that.
That dude's awesome.
Heaven knows that song. I love that Little by Little. Really good solo stuff.
I just heard one of his solo stuff on Sirius XM.
Tall and Cool One. Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good song.
Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but.
Heaven Knows was such a good song. What comes over me? Heaven knows.
I can't remember a song. I just heard it on Sirius XM, and it was a killer song. It was Robert Plant. But this was years ago when he was solo.
I'm talking about late 80s.
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
He did Pictures at 11, and then he did Now and Zen, and then some other ones. But after that, I really start liking just him by himself. But I just, you know, his bands are weird. I forget.
They wanted to get Kid David Coverdale to fill in for Robert Plant because he didn't want to do it at one point.
But he was similar when he
David did Coverdale. He's real similar.
What was that song he did that was, I thought, was very, very, very close to it? he did one, that solo one, that one that they play all the time is not the one. That's it.
And it's still the
night. Yeah, that was when he went off to the parts, solo parts.
Yeah,
that was very Robert Plant-ish.
He's got that. David Coverdale has that high-end ad-libbing, and he can ad-lib.
Yeah,
like Robert Plant would do all those oohs and ohs and whoa, like David Coverdale can definitely do it. And he resembles him a little bit.
That's what I mean.
Now that he's older.
I didn't even realize he was in Deep Purple.
Did you see when Hart had that thing for Zeppelin and they were up in the balcony? And they played Stairway to Heaven.
I didn't see that.
The two Hart sisters, Nancy Wilson and
whatever
the other girl was. Jason Bonham played drums, and Robert Plant and Jimmy Page were sitting up there with John Bonham. John Paul Jones, the bass player.
John Paul Jones.
And they're all three sitting there, and Robert Plant had a tear run down his eyes. It was awesome.
Now, Jason Bonham,
they nailed it.
He's the drummer, right?
Jason's John Bonham's son, yeah.
He played at my show with Foreigner. He was the drummer in that show.
Yeah, he might have been, because Jeff Pilson's the bass player.
Caprica, they knew him. So after the show,
he's a good drummer.
He came up there.
He pretty much plays like his father. He's a good drummer. But that was really good.
I remember, do you remember, and we'll leave on this, do you remember being at Color Time Rentals? And it just Radioactive came out by the Firm.
Yeah.
And you were playing, who's the guy with the ponytail in the Firm that was playing bass? You grabbed the broom thing and got right in front of it and was playing. I love that song. I'm a radioactive. And you're like right there. But it was so fun. I still remember that. It was yesterday. You're like, look at this. Rodgers and Jimmy Page. Yeah, it was 85, 6, something, 84 maybe.
Probably 84.
85. Yeah, it was that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Gary, as always, I don't know what happened. Volcano erupted and lava covered up Chuck. But we'll have him on next week.
Covered up Chuck.
But as always, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
You make it better. Pleasure. Makes it easy.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Rack 'em.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.